Hello and welcome to VGCast, folks. My name is Paul, aka Dax3Jack, and today I'm joined by Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hey y'all, I actually think I'm on the wrong show. I was supposed to be here for VG Club.
Oh, I said cast, didn't I? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evil Club
Give me a
Podcast.
break. Anyhow,
Marcus just threw everything off. Paul's not sure what to do.
Give me a break.
apparently I failed as the host. Now I need to remove myself. No. All right. And
Fishing went hard.
we're all joined. Hey, I take this seriously, but apparently not seriously enough.
It's a good thing one of us does.
And then we are also joined by Javi.
Yo.
Chris,
It's Javi.
aka
Sorry.
I'm
You
here
guys
too.
just want to start over?
I'll
Sure.
just run with it.
Whatever.
Do we introduce Grace?
Three and
It's
nine,
fine.
and then finally, Grace.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking about it was 2008 or was it 2007's The Force Unleashed.
Believe it's eight. I can double check that
So,
though.
I thought it came out with Super Mario Galaxy and Halo 3 for some reason. What is seven?
2008. September 16th, 2008.
Okay. So yeah, 2008 Star Wars: The Force Unleashed, and yeah, since Grace was the one who suggested this game, do you want to go ahead and give us a brief synopsis?
Sure. So basically, you're Darth Vader's secret apprentice. His name is Starkiller. Super cool, super edgy name. You're kind of given the notion that you and Vader are going to overthrow the Empire or Emperor and rule the Empire, like with Vader, but that ends up not happening. But we'll get into that. So, more or less, you end up creating the rebellion sort of out of spite. And then, of course, that comes back to bite them. But yeah, that's pretty
Yeah.
much the start of it. Like I said, we'll get into it.
After watching this story play out, I feel like Star Killer is a perfect name because I think Sidious came up with it because he's just like, no, you're gonna give him this cool name. He's gonna take it all seriously. Now let me go get back to work on my Death Star. But yeah, I guess we never know Star Killer's real name.
I think that's accurate.
It's probably John.
Okay.
John Starkiller.
Okay.
Was reading about it and it says his name is revealed in like one of the novelizations, but yeah, not in the game itself.
Who wrote a novel about this?
I have no idea. I don't really care.
There isn't. I do know that there's a novelization. I've not read it, but I do know it exists.
And it was sold for money?
Sean Williams. Also, it was actually released before the game came out, like a month before.
Wow.
Now, is
I
Sean
mean,
Williams the name of the kid or the
no,
author?
that's the name of the author. You asked who wrote a book about it. Like, I didn't go that deep. Let me see if they actually do reveal his name.
His name is Galen Merrick. Galen Merrick? Starkiller, born Galen Merrick, also known as The Apprentice.
Which makes sense. His the guy Darth Vader kills and then kidnaps him from is he was Kento Merrick, so that's in the Wikipedia article.
Yeah, but they still take the family crest. Like, we didn't even know the name of this guy, but we're going to take the family crest to make it the symbol of the rebellion.
Yeah.
Like nobody in the game even calls him Star Killer. They just call him Boy. Might as well have been named Boy.
It's this game, if anything, reminded me of like we talk about how Star Wars is like I don't know, or I talk about how Star Wars is all over the place and fast and loose with its lore and whatever, like at this point, but like they retconned stuff like in video games and it was considered canon, you know, like when it was under George Lucas, like this was fine to have Vader secretly have an apprentice and actually not, you know, be like a true believer in the Emperor. It's like, oh, okay, you can just make that canon in a video game. It's wild that that was happening back in the day. But I guess that's kind of what Star Wars has always been.
Since Timothy Zahn did his original trilogy, like back in the early 90s, it has been a nightmare. Like people just like write over other things and they create new histories, and it was not well maintained, and it makes sense why Disney was like, yeah, we're gonna they're all legends now, we're just gonna make our own like actual canon.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Oh, they screwed that all up too. At least with episode 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. They threw it all out for that, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
I don't think 9 crosses canon though. But that's not what we're here to talk about. So.
Well,
it's
not too far.
It's comparable to what the Force Unleashed is doing, where it's like deciding that no, Palpatine has been behind it all this whole time, even now, like still alive, like that, like through the ages. I don't know. It feels very like, well, that seems preposterous, and I guess it's officially what's going on. Okay, kind of have to take it at face value. Okay.
Side note here, they brought back Palpatine multiple times, like in a ancillary media, like comic books, books. And like the cloning Fortnite. Thing has happened previously, but they brought him back in Fortnite, which is canon, I guess. Like,
hell yeah,
Fortnite exists in the Star Wars universe. I don't know.
Did he come back? With
because
the big Sith cult that no one knew about too.
No.
Yeah, no. What I was saying about Fortnite was that's how like Episode 9 was revealed. There was like a audio cast in Fortnite that went out, and like Sidious being like, "I am back. I have plans for the Empire and all that stuff." So it's like Fortnite's a part of this new Star Wars canon.
Sure.
No, that's just where the information comes from. Weird.
It went through space and time, and we received that transmission from a galaxy far, far away in Fortnite.
Why not?
Sure. Right. But the Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
I don't remember where we were about the game.
So besides. Besides Killer, Vader, and the Emperor, of course, our main characters are General Koda?
Sure.
Or is it Koto?
Koda sounds right.
Okay. Yeah. And then we've got the ship's pilot. I'm forgetting her name off the top of my
Juno.
Head. Juno. We've got Bail Organa, and then we've got Princess Leia, of course. And then we've got the robot. I forgot the robot's name.
Always Proxy. A robot.
Proxy, yes.
Yeah, to be fair, I felt like this robot was like comedic relief at the very least. You kind of got this feeling that this is the only friend this kid's ever had.
The just friend that continuously tries to kill him.
Yeah, but, you know, that's only because Vader programmed him to do so.
Right.
Either way, they pretty much had the same father, their creator, adopted father. They were like brothers. But, all in all, I was actually kind of impressed by the story of this game. I had heard stuff about like how this game introduced the concept that the Emperor actually created the rebellion accidentally, and I was just like, how are they gonna even pull that off? And you know, just kind of watching its execution. I mean, they didn't have to do this good of a job, but I felt like this was better than some Star Wars movies.
At times it was.
Yeah, you were maybe saying you thought Starkiller was a dumbass, and you couldn't understand how this kid could part apart with Vader, right?
Like, Vader tries to kill him twice, and he's still just like, when they're like meeting with the rebellion, and Vader shows up, he's like, oh, I'm so surprised you're here. You said you'd stay away. Like, dude's trying to kill you already. He's not going to keep the promise. Yeah, like, so the thing about them going toe-to-toe is, like, you play Vader in the first level, so you see how powerful he is firsthand. And then Starkiller never, ever, ever gets to that point. Like, maybe if you upgrade everything. I don't know. There's not enough points in the game to actually upgrade that far. So I don't know, but you get a taste of Vader's power, and you play a Starkiller, and like, at no point do I ever believe that Starkiller could actually stand toe-to-toe with Vader in a fair fight. Like, my suspension of disbelief would have to be higher than like the ground Obi-Wan was standing on in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty high ground.
I'm sorry. That was a joke a few days ago, and I had to use it.
Yeah, maybe. Aside from like the narrative part of that, I did think that introduction was pretty brilliant. Like, it was kind of Metroid-esque, where you start out with all your abilities and then make sure that you use them as you're going through. And then once the game actually starts, it shows you what you're missing, basically. Like, you're playing as a character, or in Metroid, you're still the same character, but you see what you're trying to get back to. So I thought that, like, mechanically, that was kind of neat. I like that.
No, and I mean, like, in terms of opening levels, like, I feel like that could, I mean, opening with Vader himself, that's very hard to, like, top. But I feel like after a while, it starts to find its footing. But I guess, you know, it just depends on how you feel about that Metroid style of gameplay. I know folks who hate having all their powers ripped away from them.
Well, I think, like, back in the day for The Force Unleashed, that this was, this was the demo for that game, was the Vader bit. So that got me really interested in the game when I played it the first time around. So, I think just being like, hey, have fun. Like, you're a killing machine. Go at it. And then having to build back up to that, I'm not annoyed by that. And maybe it's because it doesn't go that full Metroid style way of, oh, and you're gonna have to backtrack a bunch just to do anything like on the map. It was just a power thing. If anything, it felt more like an anime thing.
Yeah, like that whole Vader thing is like pretty straightforward. Like, you walk through and commit Wookiee genocide, and they keep breeding like super fast. They never stop coming. Like, if you just hole up there, they will keep running at you. But once you get a hold of Starkiller, it's actually fun to kind of build up to what he becomes. I don't think, like as Gray said, he ever becomes Vader-esque, but he gets pretty strong. He can do some cool things.
Did Vader ever bring down a Star Destroyer?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's
that is dumb. Well, Vader's been like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? Like,
that is, you know, I kind of
one of the most frustrating things in the game.
Yeah. He did that, like, it's a cool display of power and everything, but it should have just been a cutscene.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. As far as like comparing characters' power levels, in the end, that's not that important, right? Like, like, would Batman beat Superman? Like, who cares? It's about the story or gameplay in this situation. So. I don't know about all of you, but I feel like all the powers in here, all the things you can do are cool, but I don't necessarily feel like it ever like comes together in like a satisfying, like your powers never gracefully go into one another. It feels very much like, okay, now I'm doing levitation, and now I'm doing a force push, and now I'm using a sword, but like they don't gracefully go into one another. And so it's kind of very like start and stop with what you're going to do with each guy. And to me, it always felt like the game was just kind of clunky. Like, I was always fighting it. I don't know. It just felt limiting.
It is extremely clunky.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to get you could have the targeting reticule like on top of the enemy that you want to attack, and he'll just like pull something off a wall like 10 feet away completely off screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, what
you're trying to lift you up.
I totally get what you're saying. Like,
happening to me in the go ahead, Chris.
I was just gonna say, even if you like, you know, lift up a guy, shoot him with force lightning, throw your lightsaber at him, throw him at another enemy, like, that's still like all separate actions. It never feels like you're just like combining all your powers because you're this ultra powerful Sith and you want to show off your abilities. It's just kind of like, Now I'm going to press a button and do this, press a button and do this, press a button, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it definitely never really like comes together.
Yeah. I never felt like if there's a encounter with like three guys and two of them are melee guys, one of them has like a gun or whatever, it never feels that strategic. It always, like, the best option is almost always to grab a piece of rubble and toss it at them from a distance, you know. When you do have to use your lightsaber against somebody, there's not a lot of depth to that. I know you can dodge, you can block, but like they take so much time to do each of them, and you can't, I don't know, the combat's just like really messy. It feels like you can't elegantly do much. You have to do one thing elegantly. So I'm not too fond of how this game plays. I think it's kind of boring, honestly, over time.
I understand where you're coming from. I guess one of the things, like, what is it in the boss battle versus the like hermit Jedi master who's like created that like mock display of the Jedi Council. I actually got a lot out of that, but yeah, I remember I was trying to take the debris in the background and try to hit him when he was in the foreground, and it just would never hit him. So I'd have to wait until he came closer to me so I could hit him with the lightsaber. I just, the force power is cool, but after a while, I just kind of gave up on them. I was just like, okay, I might as well go Sith lightning and saber strokes all the way.
Yeah, none of the boss battles work. Like, they're all just, you pretty much just have to pick something that works and spam it rather than like trying to combine your powers in a cool way. It's like, okay, I can hit him with lightning like 9 times out of 10. So spam lightning. Mm-hmm. I can hit this one with repulse. Okay, I'm just going to spam repulse because nothing else does anything.
And then when you just barely get a boss down, it hits you with a quick time event in the least elegant way, and you're just like, wait, what? Oh, right, I need to press a button. Oh, I pressed the wrong one. Oh, I need to fight him again for the last battle. Yeah.
Damn it.
Exactly.
But I wasn't alone with that experience. Like, I just, the thing is, like, you'd press it and the prompt would day on the screen, so you're like, wait, did it register? Do I need to click it again? And sometimes you'd click it again and it'd be like, up. Oh god, that was, yeah. I think this was, especially after God of War. God of War was what, 2004, the original one?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was definitely before this. Yeah. God of War 2 was before this.
God of War 2. But yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, those games in particular, I think they popularized the QT. Like, not that they didn't exist before, but I think they really went heavy on during this console generation. So you see them like everywhere, and some are implemented all right, and then some are implemented kind of like this, where it's just like, okay, I'm glad I'm doing stuff during this cutscene, but it doesn't feel as satisfying as it should.
It's also hard to actually like watch the actual like fight, because you have to just sit there and stare at the bottom of the screen waiting for the button prompt.
I mean, at some point, God of War at least realized that, like, they still want you to watch what's happening on screen, so they put the buttons on the edges of the frame so that you knew, like, if there was a button on the bottom of the frame, hit the bottom button, X, right? And then, and so God of War kind of, like, made it much more easy to do it with your peripheral vision and not having to worry too much. Basically, to me, that's, like, a sign of admission that these button prompt cutscenes are kind of not worth doing anymore.
I mean, I kind of like doing them like in Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, they would basically just within, like, you would go into these like battle animations, and you would have to they'd make you press one button, triangle, and like a green would flash on the screen, and then you could press it to continue the animation. I think I was more okay with that, because it wasn't like you knew where to put your thumb, essentially, so you could still watch it play out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Heavy Rain do its button prompts.
There are a bunch of different ways. I was actually a fan of Heavy Rain, even though it's like super stupid story wise. But yeah, there's a lot of, it does a lot of different stuff, like with the triggers, there's like animations that'll play out. You can like, which you could awkwardly like start releasing the trigger and the character will reverse what they just did.
Yeah, it's a completely different type of game than this too. Like where you're mashing buttons, you're trying to do combos that don't do much. But then like, yeah, like this comes up, like you're in the middle of like, you know, smashing your lightsaber into somebody, and then all of a sudden it kind of like pulls back and gives you like a weird camera angle and throws up an A button that you weren't expecting. And then like, as you know, Paul said, like, oh, you press B or whatever, but the A stays up there. Then you press A and then it's like, oh, you failed. Yeah.
Great game.
But I mean, like, I don't know, maybe I'm romanticizing them a little, but I kind of just, it's kind of nice, like a trip back into what LucasArts used to be before Disney, just in terms of like the, like you said, like the crazy stuff they would make canon. And I just, while it, like you said, it doesn't go together all that well, I think the tech, like, you know, the stuff like moving stuff around environment, it's really impressive. It's just, it doesn't really flow too well into like fast combat when you're getting shot at constantly.
Yeah, I mean, we're all terribly jaded with all the great video games that we've gotten since, but yeah, I mean, the tech was very, very impressive at the time. And like that first level after the Vader intro, where you're at the TIE fighter factory, like that level was built to showcase the physics engine. Like those walkways that just have a TIE fighter flying by over and over again, they're begging you to lift up a stormtrooper and put it in front of the flight path so that a TIE fighter explodes when it hits him, right? Like all of that is built for you to play around and like really showcase like what they've built here. But so like that stuff's great. I love all that stuff. But you know, we have Control now. Control basically is all the Force powers here, but with really cool.
I was literally just about
effects.
To say, yeah.
Yeah.
We got spoiled by that game massively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this game is what, 14 years old now, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was a God of War knockoff when it came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And like an okay one of those, but like now we have much better versions of these types of games. So it is it's a little rough to go back and poke at it.
You know, I actually found the Switch version more enjoyable, and I don't know how much of it is that it's just simpler, and with simplicity, it's a lot easier to forgive stuff that's really janky or clunky, because like it looks like it should be. Like I played the PC version on like max settings and stuff, and I'm like, this still feels like that GameCube looking game that I was playing on my Switch.
Especially the junkyard. Oh god, the junkyard like looked horrible. Like when I was in that stage, I was like, I want to get away from here. It just looks so bad. Especially since they were using yellow light everywhere, and that's how you identify the Jedi. What is it? Holocrons.
Yeah.
Which give you most of your upgrade stuff. And I was just like, yeah, hunting for collectibles in this level. It's like a nightmare. I'm just going to try and get through it as fast as possible.
Yeah, that one's visually a mess. it's the ugliest level, I think, in the game.
Yeah, once I got to the Mushroom Forest, I was like, thank God, my eyes can rest a little.
How does the Mushroom Forest fare in the regular version? Because on the Switch, it's really beautiful. Like it looks so cool. I don't know if it's as nice in the regular version.
I thought it looked nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
you were playing on your Xbox One, right, Chris?
Series X. Yeah.
Series X. Oh.
Yeah. So it has like.
But go on. Sorry for cutting you off. Boost.
No, no. It has like the slight graphical boost, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I thought that the mushroom area looked nice. Like it still looks old, but mm-hmm. felt like colorful wise, it's very pretty.
Yeah. So on the Switch version, it's so colorful, but like very basic, it, almost cartoony. It looks kind of like a Spyro game, like a nice Spyro game.
I could see that.
Yeah, I was really digging it. I thought it was great.
So like simplified to the level of cel-shaded, or like what do you mean?
I don't think it was cel-shaded, but it was just simple. It wasn't going for a realism at all. Let me see if I can find an image.
So does the Switch version run at 60 frames? Because I know the trailers do.
I assume it does. I didn't actually make sure, though. I think it has to.
Because I think I was playing on the original Xbox One was, I think that had to be 30 frames per second, because it didn't exactly chug, but it was, I don't know, I wish it would be a bit more free-flowing at times.
Yeah. Yeah, I played it on, like Chris, I played it on my Series X, but it doesn't have like frame rate boost or anything, so it's just the 360 version running on backwards compatibility. So yeah, it's just running at 30 frames a second most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't quite make it. But I'm sure the PC version probably runs at 60 frames a second, but I'm not sure. But yeah, like I saw the
trailer. What version did you play, Marcus?
I played it on the PC.
Do you know what the frame rate was there?
Oh, you know, my computer can't do anything. I really can't tell you. It didn't run great. I'll say that much. It was inconsistent, even on my computer, which in like 2013 is when I built it. So it should have been good for the time for this game. It still didn't run great.
I think I have it on Steam, but I didn't want to do that version versus 360 version, because like 360 version is like 7 gigabytes. Steam version is like 50. It's like between, you know, installing one version or the other, I'm gonna go for the one that doesn't take, you know, half a day.
I specifically played it on a Xbox because I still had achievements, so I could get like the alternate ending achievement.
There's that too.
What the ending alternate ending is get? Like either I knew it was supposed to be like a good ending and a bad ending, but I didn't expect a bad ending that like.
Bad.
Just the Emperor is just like, yeah, you. Oh God, you were at the finish line. You screwed it up. Now I'm just gonna use you as a robot slave until I find a new apprentice. Yeah, robots.
Basically,
go ahead,
Vader's you
job.
Again. He like puts you in your own like Vader suit, just kind of cool looking, but you don't ever actually get to use it. But yeah, it is.
See, I was
it is
the
a
opposite.
Depressing
I was
ending.
Just like. I was like, oh god, this suit doesn't look nearly as I thought it should be. And I was just like, okay, well, it's not on the screen for too long.
I mean, you used the Vader suit in the two DLCs, and each DLC is like 40 minutes, though, so it's not exactly the longest time you get to spend with it.
Yeah, I didn't get to play Hoth and Tatooine.
Yeah.
I've only ever played the Jedi Temple one, and I wasn't paying $20 for the two for here. I did get the Endor one for two for a dollar, though.
Nice. The better game, too.
Yeah, I didn't play any of the DLC. I only got the light side ending. I was like, I'm not going to go back through the whole level again just to get the other ending. Just watch it on YouTube.
You can return to it in another 14 years.
That's what I did.
What'd you say? Sorry.
You could return to it in another 14 years.
Exactly. I got plenty of time, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who needs to play Super Mario 64 again?
Everyone.
It's 2022. Everyone's played it 8 times.
I was being
go ahead, Paul.
I was being sarcastic. I'm saying if I'm gonna replay a game, I think I would much rather replay something more like Mario 64 than, you know, if I'm on my deathbed and I only have time to play one more game, I think I'm gonna I would go with Mario 64 over this.
Yeah, I don't really have any plans to revisit this game.
Does the Ultimate Sith Edition on Steam have the DLC?
Yep, that's the one that I played because I had it for free from probably one of like the Humble Bundle things.
Yeah, I have it on my in my library, so I guess I can play that then.
Oh, what a joy it'll be.
Get that lore.
Was there like any story at all, or was it just basically like this the Vader running around trying to foil the rebellion?
Yeah, there was some story. You fight Boba Fett at Tatooine in Jabba's palace. I forget if you kill him or not. And then on Hoth, you kill Luke, but like you make Luke go to the dark side first just to rub it in.
Great. It's so dumb. I love this like what if version of Star Wars. It's great.
Yeah. I just can't believe they tried saying like, yeah, no, this our game's canon. Don't worry, y'all. We really respect Star Wars here.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes you have to go in it with that attitude because I don't know. I think whenever you make a Star Wars game, you just have to accept that one fan is just it might not be a it's just gonna hate it on all principle. So you just have to go in with the principle that somebody's gonna hate me for doing this.
Yeah, but like, don't pretend your story's good when you're doing stuff like that. It's schlock. Make it fun schlock.
Okay, fair. But yeah. How was the soundtrack to you guys? Because I mean, obviously, I like the sound. I like the Star Wars thing, but I felt like it kept playing like over and over and over again. And I was just like, I was kind of hoping in some levels that it would throw something else in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very much a late era LucasArts Star Wars game where we're just going to reuse, you know, John Williams' soundtrack and we're going to fit it in for everything. And like a lot of it doesn't fit. So you're going to hear the same like three themes over and over again.
That's pretty much what I was going to say. It's very,
yeah,
Star
I was
Wars.
At a point where I was at a point where I was just like, you know what? Maybe I should just mute the game and listen to the else until I get to a cutscene. And that's never a good place. With your like a game soundtrack.
Well, and I mean, if you're trying to pay attention to the story, there is like occasional story dialogue that happens in the middle of a level outside of cutscenes. So, you know, where Starkiller calls back to Juno. Okay, so you could at least read them.
Oh yeah, no. I play, like if a game gives me options for subtitles, I always turn them. Because sometimes you'll just have like, wait, I didn't get that audio bit. What was that? So it's, I don't know. That's something I always do for myself.
Fair enough. I do too. It was nice that this game actually had subtitles since like that was still before. It was kind of like, I don't say mandatory. It's not mandatory now, but it would be really nice if it was. Yeah, that was like back before a lot of games even bothered with it. So it was nice that this game had them.
Well, I think once we got to the 360 era, it became a lot more common. It was just, especially in the, you know, PS1 and 64 and the PS2, Xbox and GameCube era, where it was really hit or miss.
But yeah, it was a lot worse back then. But like even early 360 era, it was still kind of spotty.
But yeah, did anybody anybody have any other thoughts they wanted to add to Star Wars overall? The Force Unleashed overall. And I was impressed by it, but yeah, I was definitely, it was, God, what's the, put it, a fugly game? Like, it just in terms of, like, there's so many really great ideas in here, and, you know, for what the, you know, what the game's was, you know, a licensed Star Wars title in 2008, I think it turned out way better than it like could have, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't flow together all that well. So it just, you know, I did have to myself like coming back to this. You know, I'd just be like, okay, I need to sit down for like 2 hours and do this game. Once I got into it, I was good, but I wasn't like craving more of this game.
I don't see it ever happening, but if they like remade this game or made a new one, like that would be great. Like with the current technology, like we mentioned Control earlier, you have something like that in Star Wars, like that could be amazing. So I would love to see something else like this more so than some of the other Star Wars games we've gotten recently, but I don't see it ever happening. Probably costs way too much money.
Yeah, I think Fallen Order and whatever the new one's called, I'm drawing a blank. I think that's like the closest we're going to get to like a third person action game like that. So
Survivor. There we go.
Jedi Survivor.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
I still need to play the original game. I heard it was like Dark Souls, and I'm like, oh, it's cool. And I've had it downloaded on my computer for the longest time, but I just haven't got around to playing it.
So the combat is very Dark Souls, but it's also kind of like Prince of Persia. It's a whole lot of platforming, traversal puzzle stuff going on where you're like wall running and kicking off of stuff, climbing things and sliding down slides. A lot of really fun platforming.
The slides suck though.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'll have to keep that in mind. That sounds way more appealing to me after just finishing up with Elden Ring after, like, you know, 150 plus hours. I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, yeah, any differentiation from that formula would be wonderful.
It's way more chill than like a Dark Souls type game too. So
I insisted on playing on hard and would not turn it down, and that really made it hard to play. Brutal. I didn't finish it, but I enjoyed what I played.
You were on Twitch too. You weren't even doing it for the achievement. You were doing masochistically.
No. I was talking about Fallen Order. Fallen Order, I play it on hard.
Oh, Fallen Order. My apologies.
Yeah. No, I would never play it.
I turned this game down to easy because I felt enemies were like bullets. Not bullet sponges, but, you know, just sponges. It's just like, it really doesn't matter if I turn it down to easy. I just get done with enemies sooner.
Yep.
I did the same. I mean, I've already beaten it on like the higher difficulty anyway. So it's like, I just want to like go through and throw shit around and blast people with lightning.
Yeah, just feel like a BAMF
after the first level. After what they show you with Vader, like, it shouldn't go downhill from there.
Does start off really, really high.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'll give my closing thoughts on the game. You know, a lot of comparisons have been drawn to God of War, and I guess I can definitely see that here. You know, of course, a clunkier, slower God of War. But I feel like with Starkiller, with the Star Destroyer, with that Darth Vader outfit near the end, that they were going for a different tone with this game, that I think trying to emulate like Devil May Cry for, you know, more stylish combat may have been the better option. You know, I imagine it would have been a slower, clunkier Devil May Cry, but I think at least it would have had the visual flourish that would have benefited the game. Like Chris had tweeted before, the sequel just plays better. And that's really what I remembered the series playing as. So going back to this first game, I was disappointed. I was really disappointed. And I wish I hadn't come back.
It's shocking how different they play, like, because the sequel, it came out only 2 years later, but they kind of like fixed it. Like that game, the combat in 2 is so much better. It's just like, it's only like 2.5 levels worth of content though.
That's crazy.
Like they're longer levels, but it's not a long game. I think you beat that game in like 4 hours. Not that the original is very long. Like, what do you guys think? Like 7-8 hours tops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like half as long, but way better combat.
Yeah. Honestly, like I would have been perfectly fine. Those hour, but a better combat experience.
So everybody think that I should have picked the second game. I get it.
No, I'm glad you picked this, Grace. I had fun with it. Like,
no, it's all good.
I enjoyed it a lot more than Castlevania, which I was surprised by.
Yeah, I think I did too. Like, so I never finished the original Force Unleashed, this first game, but I had played it, and I had finished Lords of Shadow before we played it for the BG Club, and between the two, like, I would rather go back to Force Unleashed than Lords of Shadow.
Not gonna go back to
Have any closing thoughts on the Switch version, killer? Like, motion control wise, how was it?
You know, I'm kicking myself right now because I only played it with the controller. I never did the motion, and I really should have, because that's the it's like the key selling point on there. Yeah, I know.
Just like, oops. Wanted to play the uglier version of the game.
Yeah, I wanted to play. I liked it. It was simpler. Like, I put a little clip in the VG Club chat here of the mushroom area, like, so you can get a sense of like what I'm talking about. Like, it's very simple. It's simplified. It feels like a game from the GameCube era, which is like my favorite era of games. So it was like a cozy little action game that didn't play that well, but it was charming. And then like going to the PC version on max graphics, like it loses a lot of that charm. It does look pretty nice at times though, but yeah.
Did they release the second one on Switch too, or just the first?
You know, I have no on Switch. No, definitely not. But I don't know if they released it on the Wii, which is what the Switch was a port of.
I think they did release it on the Wii.
Okay. I mean, speaking of, like, this reminds me of another game that got a totally, I guess this one's a little different because like the game was a different game, but like Ghostbusters. Do you remember Ghostbusters on Wii? It was like cartoon.
Compared to like the one that was on 360 and PS3.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't realize like, they had a different version on the Wii.
Yeah, and it's like it's really, I think, charming, like the cartoony art style. Oh, this is like a hideous
image. Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
That is completely different.
Right? And I like it a lot. I think it's super charming. Better than going through
Rose. That is a really apt comparison. Holy shit.
Oh, you're talking about Star Wars. Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, like I think it's basically the same game, Force Unleashed, but I find it more enjoyable on Switch for some reason, just the aesthetic.
All right.
If I ever see, honestly, I want to try it with motion controls. So if I ever get on sale for less than $10, I think I'm gonna jump on it.
Yeah, I had it on my list.
Be holding breath for a second here.
I had it on my wish list and I started to take it off. And I was like, maybe if it goes on sale cheap enough.
Take it off. Don't do this to yourself. Chris, what were your closing thoughts on the game?
I had fun with it. Like, it is not, it's not as good as I remembered for sure, but you know, I don't know. I had a good time playing it. I am not upset that we went back to it.
So I'll just say it's clunky, it's frustrating, and I absolutely hate every second of every boss battle, but the game works, you know, mostly. It's actually a lot of fun when it works. So, like I said, I would love to see more like it. I have a soft spot for games where you can like pick up stuff with your mind or whatever and like throw it at enemies, so like PsyOps, Force Unleashed, Control, like that kind of thing. I love games like that. I don't know why. So that was really fun, like picking up enemies and just like doing just horrible things to them and, you know, like throwing stuff at them and all that. Like, that was a lot of fun when it worked, but I felt like it didn't work enough of the time. So overall, it was okay. I just wish I could have liked it better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was a bit more positive about the game than you, but otherwise, I kind of hit the nail on the head. But yeah, that's the Force Unleashed. And if you guys have been paying attention to the VG Club chat, Marcus posted his four games for the next episode, which are Hitman 3, Banjo 2, Umuragi Generation, and Citizen Sleeper.
Yeah, we did. Note
on the games like last time.
What was that, Marcus? I didn't hear you.
You can just emote on the games like last time.
Oh.
On for your vote.
Wow.
All over the place.
Someone's going to have the winning vote.
Like, nobody vote for Hitman 3, basically, because I guess we could still have a tiebreaker.
That. Yeah, well, it's not that I don't like Hitman, and it's just I play Hitman 2 before I play Hitman 3.
Yeah, I still haven't played the first one, or the second one, of course. Not the first one, but like the first reboot. Actually, I don't think I played the first one either. I played like Blood Bunny and 2.
I beat the reboot trilogy. So, but I'd gladly play it again, but not going to vote for it.
We're missing a vote from someone.
I haven't voted. Sorry, I was too busy talking.
Okay. But before you make the vote, Banjo is a 2E great game, but I've heard so many good things about Uzumaki Generations. It's like a photo game. Maybe not quite like Pokemon Snap, but you know, it's just like a Pokemon Snap that's taking place in like this Pacific Rim world.
Huh.
Yeah, it does look cool. On the Switch. I think I bought it already, but I haven't played it.
Well, yeah, it's on. I think okay. It just came to Game Pass. So I just I'm fine with Banjo-Tooie if that's where we're going. But I just wanted to pitch that.
Paul, I recommend the effort, but get fucked.
No.
All right.
To you, Umurangi Generation is like a couple hours long, so you can just do that on the side while you're playing Banjo and getting mad at all the collectibles.
I love playing my Xbox. Banjo. I don't know. Like when with those 3D performers, I always go for the 100%. It feels. I mean, I know people can enjoy it without doing that, but I feel like you just get the stamp of approval, like in my heart when I 100% it. I feel like I really accomplished something.
Oh, I'll see you in 40 hours then.
Not that long for Banjo-Tooie, is it?
Oh,
it's like notorious. Along with Donkey Kong 64, this is when Rare was like unhinged with their collectibles. So good luck.
Let me check. How long to
completion? It's 23 and a half hours.
That's so bad.
Okay, that's not bad. Donkey Kong's a lot worse, if I recall correctly. Okay. Oh, because you had to collect stuff with all 5 characters, right?
Yeah, so
yeah.
Donkey Kong's around 30 or completionist 20, yeah, 30. It's around 30.
Okay, that's honestly not that bad. I guess it's just everybody talking about it. I thought it was way longer.
Well, it's because it's so much of it is padding, where it's like there's a different color of banana for every character, so you have to come back to every level with each character and do specific things with each of them. So it's a lot of like treading the same ground over and over.
Attacking the Banjo games backwards. I've only ever beaten Nuts and Bolts, so
there we go. Wow.
Well, you'll end with the best one.
It means there's achievements though for Banjo-Tooie, because that's part of Rare Replay. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Achievements there.
You gonna play the Banjo game on Game Boy Advance? It's surprisingly good. It's surprisingly
Grunty's like, Revenge.
Yeah,
like that one.
Is that like a 2D platformer?
It's kind of isometric, like it's top down ish, and it functions like as
Spyro game on Game Boy.
I guess I never played those, but maybe.
Okay.
What's weird is that it still functions as a 3D platformer collectathon. Like it's a Game Boy Advance game, but you're still exploring these worlds and collecting stuff and solving puzzles, and it's very impressive actually for what it is.
It's probably on my retro handheld emulator.
Nice.
It's not something I ever thought to play, but sure. I'll go backwards and play that.
100% Banjo-Kazooie on the Rare Replay collection is intact, because you unlock a special feature to E if you do that.
Why do they have the stop and swap? What is it? Stop and something swap?
Stop and swap. Yep, you had it. They actually implemented it in Rare Replay, so if you get all the eggs and 100%, it carries over and you get... I think it's a skin for Kazooie, and I think she becomes a dragon.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Wait, I thought that was just part of the game. Is that not part of the game?
I don't think that's part of the game. I think you have to unlock it with the swap, or not swap and swap, stop and swap, blah.
Yeah, shop and save. I was really
looking forward to that, because I think I remember seeing the clip of her like blowing fire as a dragon. I just thought that was part of the game. Shoot.
The chief, no.
Yeah. Citizen Sleeper it is.
It's right there.
I don't know what that is. Like, I've seen the name, but I know nothing about it.
There's a Banjo kart racing game on the Game Boy Advance, too.
I can't vouch for that one.
Banjo Pilot.
Yeah, it's a flying. Yeah. It's good.
All right. I'm looking forward to some Banjo, like 25 years too late, I guess.
Banjo-Kazooie. I love that song.
Man, it's kind of perfect timing, because I'm like halfway through a new playthrough of Tropical Freeze right now, of Donkey Kong, which is very in the spirit of Rare and their platformers. So you got that beautiful David Wise soundtrack. So I'm excited for more of that.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And I hope everybody who's listening to this has a wonderful day. And it was VG Club, not Cast Club. Yeah, happy, Marcus?
No, I think we should start recording again.